friends enjoyed Sunday school this morning, a little different than what we'd been doing. This morning, we're going to talk about something that's pretty dear to me in terms of ministry, because, you know, the whole point of ministry is ministering to people who are hurting. Our website, if you've never been there, it's FFC for Faith Fellowship Church, TAH for Tahlequah.org. And we have the MP3s of our sermons dating back several years. And I get a report every Thursday from the people that host our website showing statistics on number of hits and so on and so forth. And we have one sermon that is continually being listened to from about, well, it was, how long has it been since, what's his name, the comedian that committed suicide, Robin Williams. That's been at least 3 years or four, hadn't it? And I did a sermon on depression and suicide, and that one sermon gets more hits. And, you know, being a computer nerd, sometimes I do a trace route on the IP address, and, I mean, they're all over, you know, including outside of the United States. People are finding our website, seeing that, and listening to it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's that one, because we're living in perilous times. There's a lot of things going on in people's lives that that make people want to just give up on life. And I wouldn't presume to judge. You know, I've had people say, you know, well, committing suicide is the unforgivable sin. I don't agree with that. I mean, your heart goes out to people. The devil's a liar. He loves to deceive people. And I think even Christians who might have ever committed that act, I don't think they're lost. I think they were deceived. And the devil, you know, he wants to stop us from living for God. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 42. I said all that because we're going to talk a little about that. It's not the exact same sermon as I did years ago on depression and suicide, but I do want to talk about the spiritual battle. Now, most of us have read the armor of God from Ephesians 6, you know, where Paul compares the military armor of the day to the spiritual clothing that we should have. And he has at the beginning the helmet of salvation. Now, as a Christian, believing in God, believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then we know we're saved because we trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross and said, "It's finished," it's finished. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Our name is written in heaven and we're saved. And so the helmet of salvation means that my thought life should align with what I know the Bible says about my salvation, that I'm saved not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, by that amazing grace of God's free gift, and so I'm saved. Now, what happens is the devil will come in, and he will not only try to say, well, you're not saved, but he'll also bring all sorts of things, fiery darts. And the reason we're talking about a helmet is because that's our mind, isn't it? The helmet protects your head. And the battleground is the mind. Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so he will attack your thought life, not only saying you're not saved, he will say there's no reason to live. He will just bombard you with negative thoughts of fear and depression and discouragement. And so Psalm 42 is all about the spiritual well-being, mental health of a Christian, if you will. It starts out, "As a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God." So we see, well, let's go ahead and read verse 2. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, let's stop there. And so the idea is that in order to be quenched emotionally, right, when we think about quenching like a thirst, emotional thirst, we need God to quench us. Now, it's not uncommon for people to try to have that emotional need quenched by other things, by entertainment, by sex, by relationships, all these things meet our need to a certain level, but they never really quench the thing that God put in us, because we have a hole in our heart that only God can fill. Amen? Only God can fill. And, you know, you can go through a good part of your life trying to fill that hole with so many things, and you think, this is it. This is going to be it. I'm going to be happily ever after. And then you find that doesn't quite do it. Amen? Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. And the psalmist understands this, and he says, as a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, when you talk about a soul, we understand that we live in a body and that we have a spirit that has been made alive. Jesus called it being born again. Our spirit man was dead until Jesus resurrected it when we put our faith in the cross of Christ and we're born again. So we have a body and we have a spirit that's been made alive. And between the body and between the spirit, the part that goes to heaven with Jesus, the eternal part, is an area called the soul. And the soul is made up of three areas: your mind, your will, and your emotion. So just as God is made up of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And the body, of course, is on one end, or the outside. You think of it as a sandwich, like the top bread. And the spirit is the bottom, and in the middle is the soul. And so what happens is you can have a physical problem, maybe a toothache, and it may be hard for the spirit to want to go pray because you got this nagging toothache, right? Everybody can kind of get that, right? So, you know, you can have an ingrown toenail, or you can have some physical thing on the body that affects your spirit. But the real battleground is that one adjacent to your spirit in the middle called your soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions. And so our soul should pant after God. Our mind, our will, and our emotion should seek God in every way we can. We need to fill our mind, our emotions, and our will with God, as the psalmist says, as a deer that pants after water. So we need to make sure. Now, this is the healthy way to do it, right? This gives us victory as Christians when our mind, our will, and our emotion, our soul, hungers and pants after God. Then God fills that, and we are a healthy, well-balanced Christian. My soul thirsts for God as for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now see, sometimes we have situations in our life where the devil brings some kind of, calamity, and then he has the audacity to say, so where's God? You call yourself a Christian, but where's God at now? I recall back years ago, my wife and I were married 25 years, and it kind of all fell apart just really suddenly. And that was something I heard very distinctly from the devil. So where's God at now, preacher? You know, he plays for keeps, doesn't he? And you know, if you listen to that voice, that's what leads people to commit suicide. That's what leads people to quit going to church, to throw up their hands, to give up, to blame God, is the devil's lie. Well, where's it God at now? That's a good place for an amen. So where is God? And this is what the psalmist is saying. You know, the thing about it is, I love the Psalms because, you know, David, the man after God's own heart, he had the same hang-ups that we did. You know, we sometimes put these Bible characters up on a pedestal, and we think, well, couldn't I be like them, you know? But everybody goes through the same thing, be it preachers, song leaders, prophets, evangelists. You know, we all have the same hang-ups, and the devil tells the same lies to every one of us. Well, so where's God at now? How come he's not helping you if you're so spiritual? And he says, when I remember these things and I pour out my soul, again, my mind, my will, and emotions within me, for I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. with the voice of joy and praising, with the multitudes that kept a pilgrim feast. And so he's saying, I used to go to church, basically, right? I used to go there. I used to praise the Lord. I used to have a lot of happiness. But something has happened in my life. The enemy is mocking me. Where's God? And then he asked the question, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? So here's where the victory starts. It starts when I begin to recognize what's going on, that the enemy is attacking my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. And I begin to start, my spirit man, the part that Jesus resurrected, begins to talk to my soul. You say, well, that sounds like you've got schizophrenia or something, right? Your spirit is talking to your soul? I don't get this, Brother Roger. My mind, my will, and my emotions are under attack. And then the psalmist talks to his soul, and his spirit man is processing the question to his emotions. Why are you acting this way? Why are you disquieted within me? And then he tells his soul, his spirit man tells his soul, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. There's coming a day, I may not feel like praising him right now, but I shall yet praise him, devil. You haven't won. It's not over. This may be the valley, but one day soon I shall yet praise him. Spirit, take control of my mind, my will, and emotion. Listen to me, soul. Why are you acting this way? I shall yet praise God. Amen? Woo! Good preaching. Because I've lived it. I can preach it because I've lived it. You either take authority over your mind and will and emotion and begin to order it to come in line with your spirit, or you crash and burn. There's no in between. No in between. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you in the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Now, here, the second step, first of all, you got to learn to talk to your soul. The second step is you begin to remember what God has done for you. You know, I know what God's going to do tomorrow because I have a record of what he did yesterday. And he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Right? It's important to remember what God has done for you. It's important to rehearse the times where you were in a crisis and God miraculously brought you through. You see, this is why in Deuteronomy it tells us, tell it to your children and to your children's children. Rehearse it in their ears. Hang it about the forehead of your forehead. In other words, burn it in your mind is what you're supposed to do, right? That God is good, that God wins, that God is always going to see you through. And remember the time, oh yeah, I remember that time when I didn't know what I was going to do and God came through. I remember the time when I had no money and all of a sudden this happened. I remember the time when it looked hopeless and all of a sudden in 24 hours everything changed. Let me just tell you about yesterday. Some of you guys already know this. I've been so busy, it didn't occur to me till yesterday morning. Oh yeah, I got to reserve a U-Haul truck. Nothing like waiting the last minute, right? So I got on my phone, you know, I tried calling them, and they won't ever answer. They want everybody to go through the website now. So I reserved a 10-foot, not a big, a little 10-foot U-Haul truck. Pick it up at 10:30. I'm running, making another run in a car, and I go there, and I pick it up, and the guy says to me, well, you know, I thought there was going to be a big fight. And I said, what? He said, we only have one 10-foot truck, and the system is not supposed to let you do that. But you and another guy reserved that one truck at the exact same time. And he said about 5 minutes before you came in, that guy came in and said, "Hey, I changed my mind. Cancel my reservation for that 10-foot truck." I'm talking about a God who knows the end from the beginning. Amen? So whatever it is, look for the fingerprint of God in your life. God canceled that truck. The man thought he canceled that truck. God canceled that truck. And when the guy at the U-Haul place told me that, I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God the glory." Amen? So, hope in God. And then he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan. Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? As with a breaking of the bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" And so again, the psalmist is rehearsing this depression he's going through, and it is a depression, and he's rehearsing this voice that's attacking his head, where the helmet of salvation is supposed to be, the mind, the will, and the emotion is being under attack, and they're mocking, "Well, where is your God now?" And now we come to the main text of the message, which is this last verse, verse 11. And now again, he's speaking, his spirit man is speaking to his soul, to his mind and his will and his emotion, and he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?" Why? Have you ever talked to yourself in a mirror before? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Apparently I am. You know, sometimes you gotta have a conversation with yourself. You know, Sister Eddie, who has not been here in a while because of the whole virus thing, she used to tell me that she grounds herself. I've never heard anybody grounding themselves before. You're grounded. But I talk in the mirror, I was like, "Why are you acting this way, Roger? What is wrong with you?" You know? We need to talk to ourselves. The psalmist is talking to his mind, his will, and his emotions. And he's saying, "Why are you acting this way? Why are you down? Why are you cast down? Why are you letting your emotions rule you?" You know, our spirit man is supposed to be in control, not our mind, not our will, not our emotions. And yet our emotions run it a lot of the times, don't they? Our emotions will drive us to do things. They'll cause us to say things. They'll cause us to be embarrassed ourselves. When the only way to victory is for the spirit man to take authority over the soul so that God gets the glory. It's the only way. It is the only way. And so he's asking himself again, "Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" In other words, you know, why are you all in turmoil inside? And then he says, "Hope in God." Hope in God. When we have hope, we can hang on. You know, the scriptures tell us faith, hope, and love, these three never pass away. But the greatest is love. And then we read that faith works by love. But for me, hope is the thing that holds on till faith can take hold. Amen? Sometimes you may not have a lot of great faith, but you got a little bit of hope. And our hope cannot be in anything but God. You know, when I think about God, just God, you know, God the Father, and I think about how it says he holds the universe in the span of his hands. Well, you know, I used to really like to read about science, you know. The Crab Nebula is a gaseous nebula that exploded and it looks like a crab out in space with these fingers. When I was in high school, the book said it was 4,500 light years away. That means the speed of light at 186,000 miles a second would take 4,500 years to get there at the speed of light. And yet God holds the universe in the span of his hands. The Horsehead Nebula, I think, is over 7,000 light years away. It looks like a horse head, duh, right? And when you think about this, and these things exploded, and it takes thousands of years for the light to get here, right? Like, this is God we're talking about. It's in his hands. He's got it all in his hands. We used to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got a lot more than the whole world. He's got the universe in the span of his hands. You know, the creation evangelist, just went blank, Ken Hovind, pointed out that the word universe, uni means one, and verse, it means a sentence. And, you know, in the beginning, God said, right, universe. One verse, one single verse, let there be light, and God made it. And so when I think about how big God is, I can almost feel like an ant, or maybe even a flea on an ant or something like that. I can feel very small compared to the universe. And then I remember the words of Jesus. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. For your Father knows your needs before you even pray. Look at the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as these. And what about the little sparrow? One doesn't fall out of the nest that your Father in heaven doesn't know it. And so then all of a sudden I begin to think about, even though God is as big as the entire universe, he's in his hands, yet he sees a little sparrow fall and he knows how many hairs are on my head. And I can't comprehend how God can know me at that individual intimate basis and still hold the universe in the span of his hands, and yet he does. And so when my mind and my will and my emotions are down, when I drink my tears from my face into my mouth, the salty tears, and I feel like God has forgotten me and the devil is screaming in my ear, where is God now? Then I begin to take authority over my mind and my will and my emotions, and I begin to speak to it. I allow my spirit man to take authority and begin to speak to it. Why are you acting this way? Hope in God. Put your hope in God. Go ahead and just start believing that this great God that is so big loves you at an individual basis. Put your hope in God. And then again, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I shall yet praise him. Kind of already camped out on that already, but we'll just say it again. You know, tomorrow is another day, right? Tomorrow's another day. I may not feel like praising him today, but I shall yet praise him tomorrow. Because God has my tomorrows. God's got my future. My future is secure in him. My future is secure in God. I've committed my ways to the Lord, and he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. Amen? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he would even leave 99 sheep to go after one lost one. Hope in God. That's the God I'm hoping in. The God of the Bible. The God that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the God I'm hoping in. And so, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And then the last thing, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, my countenance. Or, right? It's what my face says. You know? People come up to you and say, you know, man, what's the matter? You look down. Oh, I'm okay. You know? Well, your countenance says otherwise. No, really, I'm okay. No, your countenance says, well, okay, you know, sometimes you got to prod people to get them to open up. Well, you know, I really thought, blah, 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 you know, or whatever. And so our countenance needs to change. You can't make your countenance change, you know. I'm fine. Everything is good. You know, even the fake smiles, you can read it, right? But what he's saying is, you know, my countenance is going to change because God's going to change my spirit and my soul. He's going to change my mind. He's going to change my will. He's going to change my emotions. Yes, right now it doesn't look good. Yes, the devil is screaming in my ear, where's God at now? But I am going to take authority over my mind and my will and emotion. And when I begin to do my part, by begin to order my soul to come in alignment with the Word of God, then my countenance begins to change. Amen. Then I begin to experience joy. Then I begin to experience gladness. Then I begin to experience something that makes you want to shout. Amen. You know, you're either going to get up and say, good Lord, morning, or you're going to get up and say, good morning, Lord. And it all depends on how you, your spirit man, interact with your mind and your will and your emotion. Amen. Now, just before we close, because I did mention, you know, suicide earlier, the devil does play for keeps. One of the things that we understand, and psychologists can tell you this, is that our emotions are cyclic. They go like a sine curve, up, down, up, down, up, down. And I think I just told this story recently that I had a videotape from James Dobson, the child psychologist, and he was talking to me about the reason teenagers commit suicide is because the hormones cause this to become like this. And so, you know, a pimple can push somebody, a 16-year-old, over the edge, right? And we can laugh about that, but it's not funny if they commit Harry Carey, right? I mean, it's a serious thing. And so when my kids were young, I put this tape in and I made them watch it. And one of the things that they said is, you know, I'm not going to respond when I'm down here because I know the next day I'm going to be back up here. And I drilled it into my kids because, you know, that's what happens, is that they don't understand. When they're down here, it's the end of the world. My boyfriend broke up with me, you know, or whatever, and I don't want to go on. I can't keep going. I don't want to live, right? And the devil wants to destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy people's lives. But if you know, and this is what I told my kids, if you know that this is emotions, and you're going to be back up here. You will. The sun will rise again tomorrow. I promise you. You're going to be back up here. Don't react when you're down here. Recognize that it's going to change. And I think we all as adults need to hear that. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. You know, there's going to be another day. It may look bleak now. It may look like there's no hope now, but I shall yet praise him. And so I'm going to start talking to my spirit man. Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you will have what you say. Well, you know, I've never made a mountain move. I wish I had that much faith. Never actually spoke even to a molehill and made it move. But you know what? I really don't care if a mountain moves. I do care when I'm depressed and discouraged. Amen? And so I think probably the thing, if nothing else we take out of here, is remember that we need to start letting the Word of God come out of our mouth and speak to our mind and our will and our emotion and demand that it come into line with the Word of God. And the minute we do is the minute we begin to obtain the victory that God wants us to have. Amen? Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Well, God is good, isn't he? Father, we thank you today for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And we understand, Lord, that we are made up complex in a way that we will probably never fully understand. We do have a mind, and we have a will, and we certainly have emotions. And those emotions can run the gambit from one extreme to the other. But it is your desire, Father, that we have victory in our life. It is your desire that we are not tossed to and fro like a boat upon the sea, that we walk and operate in faith. And it's your desire that we have victory in our lives. And so I pray for each person here this morning. I pray for those watching by Facebook. I pray that they begin to take this glorious leap into the world of faith. That they begin to say, I think I'm just going to hope in God. My situation may be bleak, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and put my hope in God. And then that they would begin to take authority over their mind and their will and emotions and say, why are you acting this way? Hope in God, for there's coming a day you'll praise Him. It's not going to stay like this. You're not going to live in this valley. You're going to laugh again. You're going to sing again. You're going to hope again. And as we do, Lord, as we begin to put these principles in practice, we know that you're going to hook arms with us and that we're going to walk down this road together called life, and we're going to experience the victory that you've promised us through Mount Calvary. And so we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.